turn right to the Word, so if everyone will please hold steady. And just a few words this morning from God's Word. I know a lot of us are all dressed and prepared for the picnic, and that's coming shortly. And I was thinking about sharing a thought with you, a devotional today before we make our way over to the McDuffs, and I was being drawn to the subject of God's household. And there's a passage that you find in Scripture. You'll find it in Ephesians, if you have your Bibles, Ephesians, the second chapter. And I want to just share a few thoughts with you on this subject of God's household. There's a lot today that's going on in the world with respect to, speculation about the place of the church in society. We know that years ago, long time ago, even at the founding of our country, the church played an important role. In fact, many times politicians would go to church before they'd go to Congress to vote. They'd go to church. The church played an important role. And then over the years, the secularization of society, it's gotten to the point where now many feel that the church needs to stay in the church, the four walls of a church, and not be in society at all. And some folks that had an early upbringing of sorts in the church find themselves not in the church anymore. They rarely go or rarely attend, and it's a sad commentary on our country, our society in particular, here in America. We, who have traditionally been known as being a country that took a stand for Christian ideals and morals, and where a vast majority of the people, if not in church on Sunday, at least believed that it was a good thing to be in church on Sunday. That's changed a lot. And there are some folk that, have of sorts kind of an identity crisis. They're kind of caught in betwixt and between as to who they are. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But I wanted to turn to this passage in Ephesians because it does talk about an identity that's very important to all of us this morning. And that has to do with God's household, being a part of God's household. Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning to read with verse 11. And I'm going to make a few comments as I read through this. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This passage has to do in the New Testament with New Testament believers that were coming into the church. Originally, as you know, believers were of a Jewish background, and they accepted Jesus as the Messiah. And then the gospel was taken to the Gentiles. And there used to be certain uneasiness in the relationships between Jews and Gentiles, that is, Jews and non-Jews. And there was kind of an exclusive attitude towards the church in the beginning. And not everyone was thrilled that the Gentiles were being included in this concept of God's household, God's family. And so the writer, he's addressing this problem here. That's why you have this reference to the Gentiles being referred to as the uncircumcision and the Jews as the circumcision here. It says, you were separate from Christ. That was the key, that the Gentiles were separate from Christ. You were excluded, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Do you know that that situation still exists today for those who have not received Christ as their Savior? They have absolutely no hope in this world with respect to what the future will hold for them. There is no hope outside of Christ. And so we preach that message today, having no hope without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off, having been brought near by the blood of Christ, he himself, this is what I, I want to point your attention to verse 14 of Ephesians 2. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. A number of years ago, you remember that great wall that was erected that separated the nation in Germany of the East and West, and it stood there for many years. And I see pictures of that, and that really speaks to us in a way of the spiritual separation that exists between the redeemed and those who are not redeemed, between those who have been bought by the blood of the Lamb and those who have not received Christ. The barrier that was there, there's a spiritual barrier there, and the apostle points to this, saying at one time there was this barrier, but he himself is our peace who made both groups into one. The world is looking for a peacemaker, and we know that soon one is going to arise on the scene that will appear to be the great peacemaker. He's going to do what no one has ever been able to do before him. He's going to appear to bring peace, worldwide peace. He will be hailed. He will be extolled. He will be honored. He will be revered. And all power will be given to him. And then he will be revealed for who he really is. And we know that day is coming. It's coming soon. Our world is being set up for the Antichrist. It's being set up for the Antichrist. This scripture refers to the only one who can truly bring peace. The Antichrist will bring a false peace. And then the world will be brought into chaos under his rule such as it has never experienced before. But the Prince of Peace has come. He has removed the dividing wall that keeps men and women from God. He has become our peace. He's broken down the barrier of the dividing wall. Sin itself has been broken, and Christ has become our peace. And we acknowledge Christ as being our peace. That little hymn, chorus we sing, he is our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. Sing along with me. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your care. Kind of sense the peace of God settle in when you sing that chorus, don't you? And that's the way he is. He's our peace. And he comes and he settles the troubled soul, and he takes the person who is driven by anxiety and fear, and he calms all of the troubled hearts and that come to him. And he's become our peace. What a wonderful truth that is. And the world needs to know that the peacemaker has already come. And he's the one who has broken down the barrier of the dividing wall and become our peace. It goes on to say in Ephesians 2:15, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one man, thus establishing peace. thought to myself, you know, that reminds me of another chorus we used to sing. I don't know how many of you know it. I might be singing a solo here this morning. I'm not even sure if my wife knows the tune, at least to play it, but I'm going to try it. Yeah, that's a good key, I think. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. He will bring joy and gladness, take away sin and sadness. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. How many never heard that before? It's the first time you ever heard that song. My, we used to sing that a lot in camp meeting days and early times in the church, an old Pentecostal chorus and hymn. And let's sing it again. Let's try it again. All right. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. He will bring joy and gladness, take away sin and sadness. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. Now, don't you think the world needs to know that message? Don't you think they need to hear that message? Yes, that the great peacemaker has come and broken down the wall and all of the things that they're worried about. The peacemaker has come, and what you need to do is get a glimpse of Jesus. And that's what the world needs more than anything else. Because in him they'll find everything they're searching for and longing for. It goes on to say that what the world needs is Jesus, because he establishes peace in verse 16. And might reconcile them both into one body to God through the cross by it having put to death the enmity, putting to death sin, hell, and the grave. Goes on to say in verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. The peacemaker coming and preaching about peace. Perhaps you remember this chorus. Sang it many times around altars of prayer. You'd see troubled souls that had never given their lives to God, and they would respond at the altar call, and they'd say, yes, I need something in my life, and if it's Jesus, then he's the one I want. And they would come from their troubled lives, and they would respond and come to an altar like here at the front, and they would kneel and pray, and they would ask God to come into their lives. And oftentimes playing in the background was a hymn like this, simple little song. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father. Forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Let's sing it again. Such a beautiful hymn. Oh, it's peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray,
billows of love.
You just kind of sense the peace of God, don't you? When you sing a song like that, and when you come from a life that's troubled, a life where you're facing nothing but difficulties on a daily basis and you're searching for answers, and then you come into the presence of the Lord and the Prince of Peace is there, and you kneel at an altar, and all of a sudden, in a moment of time, He takes away all the hurt and the pain, and He floods your soul and your spirit with His peace. That's the God I serve. That's the Jesus I love. That's the one who saved me. He becomes a peacemaker personally in our lives. Verse 18 goes on to say in Ephesians, "For through Him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." You see, that's the key. That's the key. The great peacemaker. He helps us to make peace with God, our Heavenly Father, and He then welcomes us into His household, God's family. God's family. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. So that the purpose God has for us in helping us to mature in our faith, in our walk with Him, is so that He might inhabit us. He might actually live within us. His Holy Spirit might come and dwell within us. And we are described as being a temple of God, a habitation for God's Holy Spirit. And so we're included in the family, in the household of God. That's what it's all about, being part of a family, a place where God can dwell, where God can do a work, a refining work, and bring us to that point where He wants us to be. When you add God to your life, when he comes into your life, and when Jesus becomes your Savior, oh, it's the best thing you'll ever experience. You're always far better off with God in your life than without Him. That's the way it works. I think of another chorus we sometimes sing, refers to about the fact that the temple of God, that's what it's all about, becoming His temple, being a part of the family of God and being a part of this holy temple that He's fashioning for His divine purposes. Oh, the glory of Your presence, we Your temple, we give You reverence. Come and rise to Your rest and be blessed by our praise. As we glory in Your embrace, as Your presence now fills this place. Oh, the glory presence, we Your temple, give You reverence. Come, arise to Your rest and be blessed by our praise as we glory in Your embrace, as Your presence now fills this place. into the house of the Lord. We come with prepared hearts. We come with hearts desiring to know more of Him, wanting to grow in Him. We come to be a place united together where God's holy presence can dwell. He can dwell not within four walls, so to speak, but He dwells within the hearts of His people. And together we are a holy temple that brings honor and glory to the God we serve. Oh, the glory of Your presence. In verse 22 it says, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Some of the questions people face in life are these. Where do I fit in? Ever hear anybody say that? I just wonder, where do I fit in? Others wonder, where do I thrive? That's a good question to ask yourself. Well, where is it that you thrive if we're going to try to figure this out? And you might ask yourself this question, where do I feel inspired? Where do I feel inspired? Or you could ask, where do I feel loved? How about, where do I feel respected? Or where do I feel appreciated? How about, where do I feel welcomed? All of these questions help answer this one. Where do I belong? You know, I believe that if you go down a list of questions like that, and you consider what God's word has said, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens. You're not outside. You're not outcast. You're not outsiders just kind of looking in. But you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. The conclusion of the matter is this. This is where you belong. That's right. You belong in God's household of faith. This is where you belong. Where is it you feel accepted? Where is it you're respected? Where is it that you can feel love and acceptance? Where is it that you're appreciated? It's right here in the household of God, among God's people. Well, I feel good about that. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's a good place to be. And that's where I belong. I belong with God's people. I belong in the household of faith. I belong in God's household. And that's really where all people belong. Not all will find their way there. Many will reject. But the real place where one finds acceptance in love and hope and joy, where they really feel like they fit in, it's the household of God. Well, kind of reminds me of another chorus. I think I'm going to have you all stand for this, all right? That's another old chorus that I think is a good one for us. We're going to leave in just a few minutes and make our way over to the McDuffs and have a great time of fellowship. And we're going to enjoy some of the fun things that we enjoy as being a part of God's household. And we're going to enjoy that today. And we're going to experience a lot of what I've been speaking about. The acceptance and the genuine concern and appreciation one for another that you find in the household of the Lord. So I think it's appropriate that we sing this little chorus. Many of you know it. Some of you might be new. It goes like this. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this song. For I'm part of the family, the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined ears with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. Aren't you thankful you're part of the household of God? I am. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a joy it brings to our hearts. What a wonderful place. Listen, if you ever feel down, you need to get to God's house. Get together with God's people, fellow saints of God, and be where you're going to be accepted and appreciated. Where really you belong. This is where you belong. You belong in the household of God. And we're a part of that great household of God that He has right here at Trinity. And we love and appreciate you. And I trust you'll experience life and joy and peace and acceptance and a warm welcome here as you join hands with us together, as we join hands to do the work that God has for us. Amen. Jesus, we love you. And we thank you, Lord, for who you are, what you've done for us. I thank you, Lord, for this great family of saints that you have that stretches around the world. And we're part of that great family, the household of God. What a privilege it is to know where we fit in, to know exactly where we belong. And I pray this morning, Lord, you'd encourage every heart that's here. If there is somebody that perhaps isn't really sure in their heart about their relationship with you, I pray for that person, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to be the God who cares and loves. And I pray that there would come a point where that individual will bow his or her knee and say, Jesus, come into my life. I need you in my life. Be my Savior. Cleanse me from my sins. I want to be part of your household. I want to be part of the family of God. And Lord, you're so compassionate. You will welcome that soul into the fellowship of the saints of God. And so I pray, Lord, that all of us here today, again, would just renew our commitment to you, and that we would walk in the light that's been given to us, and that we would fulfill the high calling that you've placed in our lives as a member of the household of God. May that be said of us, that we were faithful in what you called us to do. Now I ask your blessing upon your people as we prepare now to leave this place. I ask that your divine benediction be upon us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Have a great Lord's Day. Join me.
On my own, now that I am seen.